Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, June 7th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. New tools like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and Tome are disrupting the workplace. Many workers are already using generative AI tools.
I spoke to one who was using it to check his work before going to meetings with clients. He would have his team, of course, prepare their remarks, and then he would also just check with ChatGPT to see what would be recommended. You know, say, yeah, I have a client meeting with so-and-so and we want to brief on XYZ, what should we say? And then he would compare the results.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal reporter Taiping Chen about the benefits and risks of using AI in the workplace after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
More workers are using generative artificial intelligence tools like ChatGPT. Wall Street Journal reporter Taiping Chen joins us to discuss how it's helping professionals save time and boost their income. So, Taiping, artificial intelligence seems like it's something new, but what are some examples where it's been in use for quite some time?
There's lots of ways that artificial intelligence has been used to help with processes like customer service. So, for example, if you're calling, it's quite possible that the agent on the other end of the line has been working with AI-powered software that can help hear what's going on in a conversation, transcribe it, have that transcription be processed, and then offer feedback or suggestions to the agent in terms of what they should be saying to you. Then also for regular consumers, it's something that they would encounter on a perhaps daily basis with tools like Siri or Alexa.
So how do they work? And are they easy to use?
I spoke with folk who had really no coding background, really no technical background whatsoever. And yes, we're absolutely able to start using those tools quite readily in their own work lives. So with one of the designers that we spoke with who was trying to generate an image, it was typing in fun, quirky car, retro, like, you know, and adding on more and more descriptors until he landed on the image that he wanted. And then taking it into another program, more traditional program like Photoshop or what have you, and working on it from there. But the actual input process he and others have found, I mean, of course, it depends on the tools. Some of them you do need more of a technical background, but certainly for things like ChatGPT and Midjourney as well, really quite accessible.
So you really don't have to be a computer expert to use these tools.
Yeah, not all the folks we spoke to did have a coding background or those skills. One lawyer that I was talking to, you absolutely no such technical background, but she was using ChatGPT quite fluently to try and generate articles for a website that she was building. In other cases, you know, we also spoke with a marketer who likewise didn't have a technical background, but was using ChatGPT to generate content for his marketing business. So yeah, I think some learning curve involved, of course, like with anything, but not that substantial.
Now, in your story, you spoke to people who are freelancers and work in small businesses. How can artificial intelligence be used by people outside those fields, somebody maybe in a full-time job or who's not in a small business?
Yeah, well, the tools are applicable to really any kind of work context, any sort of white-collar work context. It would just be a question, obviously, of what your company's regulations are. But for workers, there's a lot of different ways that they can be drawn on. I spoke to one who was using it to check kind of his work before going to meetings with clients. He would have his team, of course, prepare their remarks, and then he would also just check with ChatGPT to see what would be recommended. You know, say, yeah, I have a client meeting with so-and-so and we want to brief on XYZ, what should we say? And then he would compare the results and make sure that his team was covering its bases. I've also heard from workers who were using ChatGPT to write emails to colleagues, sometimes to spruce up emails to clients. Say you've got already an email written, but, you know, write it in a more energetic tone or make it sound more exciting. Those sorts of applications too. So there's a million ways you can use it. It's just really a question of what are some of the guidelines and what are your workplace's policies, which is why, you know, we do see a lot of freelancers and sort of small business owners who are maybe more actively using it because they're less bound by such constraints. But really, the uses are really very widely applicable.
Yeah, you mentioned that small business owners and freelancers, they can use these tools more freely because they're not really constrained by legal hurdles in large companies. What kind of hurdles would those be?
Well, it's everything from questions around copyright when we're talking about generating art. There are some ambiguities that companies are still working through. Questions of whether or not using these tools are or should be seen as cheating or fair. And so some companies that are still having that discussion, others who have very substantive concerns about privacy. So really a gamut of issues. But again, you know, I think there are a lot of efficiencies to gain. And so we do see companies, including large enterprise companies, starting to experiment with these tools. But so we certainly do see companies, and especially smaller companies, experimenting with these tools for enterprise customers and larger businesses. It's a much more complicated equation.
You hear about AI chatbots making things up or hallucinations. What are some of the risks that go along with using tools like this?
Well, I think for the moment, you know, a lot of the folk that I spoke to for this piece really feel like they're getting an edge over some of the competitors with these tools, right? Because if you're generating pitch decks using some of these tools, saving time that way and able to come up with much more custom kinds of imagery or specific content that's really tailored to your clients in a fraction of the speed, that's all to the good. I think, though, as these tools become more widely adopted, there are questions, of course, about how clients are going to be viewing the use of these sorts of tools. Not everyone that I spoke to was necessarily telling clients that they were using them. As their competitors also catch on, there's a question of, you know, how long will these sorts of advantages hold? And I think fundamentally there's, you know, sort of as one user I was speaking with was saying, like, at some point, you know, what's my ad value? And the concern of, well, we're using these tools, and in some ways, it's just raising the bar on what I need to be doing, too.
So in a past generation, workers were concerned about being replaced by robots, and this person was concerned about being replaced by the AI tool.
Well, he was, you know, saying very helpful to him now, but of course, there's anxieties about what this might look like in the future.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Taping Chen, and that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.